Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. And,
this will be, I think, airing Tuesday, March the 19th.
And, yes.
We are in the middle of our discussion of hearing God's voice, and we've been moving into this process of how do we put ourselves in a position to hear God's voice. And it's about believe we can and believe that we will, that we spend time with Him. And by the way, spending time with Him is, first of all, in the Word of God, that He said, "My words are spirit and life. As you abide," and is what we teach in our abiding retreats and courses, is it's dialoguing around the words that He's speaking to you, and you start to have questions and ask and dialogue, and here's what I'm hearing, and then it becomes enjoyable. That's usually the first place that you start to hear God's voice, because He's using His words that He's already written.
Right,
and now they become life to us, and they say things to us, and they release the the power of the Holy Spirit in us. So it's really a fun. By the way, in all our retreats, this is what happens, and this is why it's so powerful that God gave us this amazing exercise. That we're learning it. We learn it Friday, Saturday. We practice it Sunday, and. What is, and this is why we as leaders never tire of doing it.
Right.
And every time we are blown away, but every single person hears God's voice. And it's personal, and they know it's personal, and we all know it's personal, and we are blown away by how amazing it is.
Right. And it is one of those funny things because, how many, I wonder, honestly, how many retreats you and Linda have led.
Yeah.
And then I think about the number that we have. And my constant prayer is, it's so funny to me that I am in awe every time we get to that Ezekiel exercise on how personal, how specific, and I know you guys are the same, of just how God speaks so clearly and so beautifully. And at the same time, I'm like, I'm not surprised, but God never let me lose my wonder and awe at the beauty of the fact that you speak, and it is just every time, even though we know that's exactly what He's going to do. It is still just amazing to be a part of it, right?
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And we had a retreat. This is a couple that were, they were theologically trained, and they were basically resistant. They came because they were invited, but they were pretty resistant with what we have, you and I have talked about, what the church mentality is. Is that no, you can't hear God's voice. You just got to read the Word of God, and that's it. And so we're teaching it, and they're resistant toward it, we understood it, but it doesn't bother us at all. It's like it's okay, just stay with it. And they were still pretty resistant. And we have this exercise on Sunday, and they have to go off and do these things, and then with the Word, and then come back and what did God say. So they did that, come back, and the woman, she says, "Well, before we start, I just got to say that this just is not right. You can't hear God's voice, and what we did was just not right. And I just want everybody to know that I think that's my position on it." And I said, "That's okay." I said two things. Would it be okay if the rest of them shared what they got? Yeah. I said, "By the way, did you do the exercise?" Yes. Okay. Now, one piece of context here is that throughout the weekend, I make this interesting statement. I do this on Saturday morning. And we took, because we're talking about unity.
Right.
And coming to unity with your spouse and with God. Mm-hmm. She says, well, we've agreed to disagree.
Mm.
And I make a statement, and I make it a little bit out of jest, but it's true. I said, I said, you're just two self-centered people that aren't willing to go to God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And she got upset about that. And like, no, right. This is the only way that we can actually function together is we've agreed to disagree. We've had this very serious disagreement mm-hmm. for 8 years, and we don't process it because we've agreed to just let it lay there as a major disagreement. And I said, well, mm-hmm. I said, if you have a heart to go, God would tell you the answer. Nope.
Right.
Nope. Sorry. This is all right. I said, oh, that's okay. All right. That's no problem. So that's the context. So people go around the room and share. And these amazing things that they got, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, and the neat thing is we get to do this together.
Right.
And so people recognize, well, I heard that. I heard my stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that you heard your stuff.
Right.
And wow, this is amazing. That's fantastic. You know, and so it comes around to her. And she says, well, I don't want to share. I said, well, did you do the verses? Yeah. I said, well, why don't you just read the verse and tell anything you got from it, and then we'll go to the next one and just tell whatever we got to it, and then let's just see what you read.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts speaking the first verse, and then she's starting to, you can see her countenance change. She reads the second verse, and she starts bawling,
mm-hmm.
and she starts crying. And I says, what? She says, this is the answer to our 8-year-old problem.
Oh, wow.
And her husband.
That gives you goosebumps,
yeah,
right?
And her husband said, oh, my gosh, that's it. That's the answer to our 8-year-old problem.
Mm.
And she says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so prideful. my goodness. I can't believe this. God just spoke to us and gave us this answer that we've never been seeing ever because we never had a heart to.
Wow.
I said, all we had to do is have a heart to hear it. Mm. And we heard it. Oh, my gosh. And they went off and taught abiding.
Wow.
You know, and it was remarkable. And that's why, you know, when you're hearing God's voice, it's not just here's a couple of suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Here is answers to your stuff.
Right.
And I know more than you, and I can give you freedom. And they went from, you could tell, burdened, heavy-hearted, they went out walking, rejoicing, and their life completely changed as a result of it. And God said, that's why I want to speak to you.
Right.
And so as we talked last time, we talked about Gethsemane, is it's about surrender with a heart to hear.
Right.
And that sets it up to be able to hear. And so let's look at this next story. This is with Peter and the disciples. Matthew 16. Go ahead and read verses 13, a little bit long, but 13 through 28. Great story,
sure.
And then we'll unpack a little bit.
Sure. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded the disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Yeah. Who do people say I am? Are you, you know, Jeremiah, you're Elijah, you're John the Baptist, other prophets? Who do you say I am?
Right.
Peter says you are the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, their view of Messiah has been built actually out of tradition, not through Scripture. Which I don't know, and we can talk about this with Denny sometime, but currently, and this has been true even back then, is if you go to a Jewish synagogue, it's similar to certain church denominations that they try to get through the Scripture in a year.
Right.
At the services. You know, once a week, okay, we're going to read these passages. And they keep, you know, going through the whole book. Now, for them, it's
right.
The Old Testament. They skip the verses in Isaiah that talk about Christ's suffering and death.
Right.
Unto us the Son is born. They take. Mm-hmm. They don't read that. They don't read about Bethlehem. They don't read all these prophecies about Jesus. They just skip them because it doesn't. It doesn't fit their model. Peter and the disciples had learned that model is the Messiah, which there are verses, but it's about the second coming that he sets up government on earth, the millennium. And they take that as the definition of when they'll have the Messiah come. So you're the Messiah, the one that's going to bring earthly kingdom. Jesus said, you know, this wasn't revealed to you by your own intellect. You got it by hearing God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to you and you received it, and it's true. Hallelujah. I'm going to build my church.
Right.
And see, the neat thing about that statement is upon your ability to hear God's voice, who's going to reveal things to you, I'm going to build my church, and you'll have power to loose and bind, and you'll have spiritual power to overcome in this world, because really it's about spiritual stuff, not by just natural stuff. Way to go, Peter. You are, you know, really special because of it. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die, and then I'll be resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does Peter do?
No way. I'm not going to let that happen.
He says, I will never let that happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure you don't. And there's an interesting word in there. He rebuked Jesus. It didn't say, I don't agree with that. I will make sure I take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
The word rebuke there is, Jesus, you stop saying that. And I'm telling you, quit talking about this, because this is not going to happen. I'm never going to let it happen. And I want you to stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus
says,
it's amazing
how quickly self entered in.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jesus says what?
Get behind me, Satan.
Get behind me, Satan. See, and this is kind of an important aspect of, see, if you're not hearing God's voice, you're actually following Satan. He said, you know, it's not just natural stuff. If you're not following me by hearing my voice, you're following Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're against me, and you're in enmity against me, which, by the way, he talks about in Romans 8:5-8. And so if we would have said, Peter, do you think what you just said is a good idea? What would Peter have said?
He would have thought it was a great idea.
Of course. Look at what I'm doing to protect, you know, Jesus.
Right.
And it's a good thing. It's a holy thing. Yes. And Jesus said, actually, you're following Satan. Okay, now, mm-hmm. and he said, here's why. So read the why. What does he say? Because you don't have the things of what?
You're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men.
Mindful is you're not considering mm-hmm. the things of God. You've decided already mm-hmm. what you believe is the right thing to do, even right. even if you've determined it in your mind that this is a holy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, it's about your willingness to process. He said, so the mistake you just made, Peter, mm-hmm. was it's okay to have that thought. What's the mistake that Peter just made?
That he didn't ask him. He didn't come back and dialogue with him about what are you saying?
Exactly. yeah. So see,
why are you saying this?
What's being mindful on? Is, okay, so I heard or I read something. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this.
Right.
Could you please help describe this further? Because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we be protecting and making sure that that never happens to you?
Right.
But could you help us with this? Mm-hmm. And that's why I use the word mindful. It doesn't mean that you don't struggle with the statement. It's rather that you didn't pursue further what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I understand it further and dialogue further to hear what else I have to say about it? And then he goes on to make this statement. If anyone would come after me,
mm-hmm.
deny self.
Right.
I have to surrender my will to his, which gives me entrance to the kingdom.
Right.
It says take up your cross, but the Greek there says take up the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Stand on what I've done, which is I've forgiven you, I've taken away the requirement of perfection, I've overcome the enemy, disarmed mm-hmm. the enemy. This is out of Colossians 2, 11 to 15. Stand on the power of that.
Right.
And now enter and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Deny self. Put to death self by what I've done. Not you do it, but I've done it. And follow me. Okay, now, mm-hmm. Think of the steps. My goal is to get where? The following me part.
Right.
So I can be led into your will, which was best and none better.
Right.
And it's going to be covenant. And it's going to be blessing. And you're going to solve all my problems, and I'm still going to have adversity, but you'll overcome them all, delivered out of all of them. He said the process is, well, first, you got to be willing to surrender your will to me mm-hmm. and enter the kingdom. Let me be king, not you. Believe what I've done. And he said the most important part is following me part. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, and this is implied. Okay, if I get to that part, and I follow him, what is he doing?
He's leading me. He's speaking.
He's got to be speaking, mm-hmm. directing, guiding, telling me which way to go.
Right.
So that I'm able to follow him. He said that the entry to that point is you've got to surrender your will, mm-hmm. believe what I've done, and then let's get to the following part.
Right.
And the following part is being led by the Holy Spirit, who's going to speak to you and guide you and show you, and it's going to happen through, he said, mindful. Do I have a heart to do that, even mm-hmm. when I struggle with what I'm hearing?
Right.
Like, wait, that's hard to do, or that's difficult, or wait a minute, I'm not sure that's right. And okay, he said, that's no problem. Stay mm-hmm. with me, being led. See, my conversation isn't, here's the answer, see you later. Jesus said, my conversation is, I'm telling you a step to take. I'm telling you something. Hey, I'm going to go to my death. What I wanted you to do, Peter, was to say, I don't understand any of that. Could you please help me? That means you've surrendered your will to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, and then we'll process it. And by the way, this isn't going to be that easy for you. I understand that. Stay with me. To get to the following part, but it all is started with the aspect of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
He said you can't even get to the following part unless you deny self.
Until you surrender. Yeah, that's beautiful, right?
And that's why, you know, you got to go through Gethsemane to really get to a point where I really, really, really want to follow your will. Mm-hmm. Now, interesting enough, he says this. That's required daily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why is that required daily?
Simply because self always enters in. And so daily there are going to be new things he wants to speak and lead us in.
Yeah.
As we have new circumstances to navigate and new things he's put in our path or allowed to be in our path, then we need to surrender our will to his and follow again, yeah. again and again and again.
That's right, because he said, remember, this is in Galatians, he said, the flesh battles against the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the flesh in you. And see, the flesh never gets any better.
Right.
And you don't, it's not a permanent choice. Okay, I choose. That's it. I'm going to follow mm-hmm. God. That's it. He said, well, that's nice. Guess what? Tomorrow, you've got to make the same choice.
Right. Right.
Why? Well, because you have a flesh that doesn't get better. And it's not that you improve this, but rather it's a daily consistent putting to death the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In order to surrender my will, and you have to do it all the time. And what the words that we use is, are you neutral?
Mm-hmm.
So that when we're in discussions with each other, with Linda, with you, with Dan, a question comes up, you know, because I want. And it's, mm-hmm. and it's like, well, okay, hold a second. Are you neutral?
Right.
Are you willing to hear God's will on this?
Right.
And we know the answer, you know, and Linda can say that to me. Are you neutral? Not really.
Right.
Well, before you go any further, you need to go back to the first piece, which is deny self.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
which
go back.
Which really comes back to that, you know, getting to that place of surrender and yielding to him that you can genuinely say, God, I want your will more than I want my own.
Yeah. And I believe your will is best and none better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pursue that because of that belief, and I've experienced it, and I'm going to keep experiencing it, but I can't say I permanently have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do it today, and I got to do it tomorrow, and I got to do it the right. next day. And it's deny self, take up the cross, and what I keep in my own mind thinking, I would like to get to the following me part.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where it's all going to happen. And it happens in right. the kingdom. It happens when I've surrendered my will to him. And he will then guide me and lead me. And I can trust mm-hmm. it. And I want to enjoy that piece of it. And I know when I've left and I've exited the kingdom through the self, because you've lost your peace. You've lost your, you know, you're starting to stew. You're starting to worry. You're starting to overreact. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I know why I'm not with him. So Father, I'm sorry. I repent. I turn around. I surrender my will. I'm coming to you. What do you have to say to me now? And I'm willing to hear what you have to say to me now, because I know that the purpose isn't just to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose is to follow you into the path that you have for me as you speak your voice.
That's awesome.
It's, you know, and it's kind of fun. So that, the willingness to surrender is critical
mm-hmm.
to hearing his voice. If we're going to put ourselves in a position to hear his voice, it's going to have to be a surrender of our will.
Right.
And we can't do it any other way, because if we're not, that means we're not walking with him to hear his voice,
right.
to be in the kingdom. And where he says, I have much to say to you, he says, but I'm looking all around and you're not around.
Yeah. And a couple things I know I always see, you know, in myself and in others, when there's a struggle to surrender, a couple different things. One, a lot of times that comes back to a trust issue
yeah.
with God, and just, okay, I need to press in and really allow him to grow my trust in him. And so that's a place to be abiding. The other thing that I see often is places that people are unwilling to surrender reveal an idol
yep.
in their heart. And so again, as that surfaces and you're really struggling to surrender something, I think that's a place to really ask God, show me what's in my heart. What am I putting as more important than you? Because it's revealing an idol if I'm holding so tightly to something that I cannot surrender it, right?
Right? That's right, yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great story that the issue is, do we have a, are we mindful of the things of God, or are we following the things of self? And if we're going to hear your voice, we have to deny self, to be willing to follow you, to hear your voice. And so we know that surrender is such a critical piece of this. And we pray that we'll practice it, we'll receive the joy of the answers and the resolutions and the covenant life that you've blessed us with. And then the more we do, the more heart we have to surrender, because we realize, why would we not? So we just pray that we'll process that, we'll go to neutrality, seek your will, and then start to experience what you have to say. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions, send them in to questions@abideministry.com. And still through this week, send in your email if you would like to be entered into a drawing for some things celebrating our 750th episode that we taped March 8th.
Yeah, we want to send you some great stuff, so send it in. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Okay, see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.